Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to singer Kelly Mae Brown, an indie pop tunes music artist with a bluesy twist. She's the vocals and standing room only band who stand behind saying Kelly is one of the best, if not the absolute best, voices in the Shenandoah Valley. She's known in many circles and has been involved in several music projects throughout her performing career. Kelly is one of the original members and has come full circle, bringing her sultry blues voice on the stage and is the heart and soul of Standing Room Only, aka SRO. Welcome to the show, Kelly. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dawn. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm super fantastic.
That's what I love about you. Every time I see you, just have such joy about you, and you're just a treasure to be around. I've been really excited to do this interview with you today. So let's get into it. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Now, in prepping for this interview, I discovered a few interesting fun facts about you that I wanted to start off with. So, Okay. Yes, let's do it. So where were you born and raised in the Shenandoah Valley?
Now, see, this is one thing I don't tell many people, but I was born in Waynesboro, Virginia.
Okay.
However, that was very short lived and have been raised majority of my life right here in Rockingham County.
For real? For real?
I'm a local.
You're a local yokel. So what high school did you go to?
I did the old Turner Ashby.
Okay, the Knights, right? That's not
the TA Knights. That's right.
That's right. I got that right. Now, you also have this 54 Chevy pickup you had restored and built for you. I don't know many people that have one of those. I'm sure people that are have antique cars maybe have plenty of them or know people with them. But this is a first for me. So what inspired this restoration project?
So my father, he has always been a body man, meaning working with cars, body work, painting. He's, you know, been a master painter, master welder his whole life, or most of his life. And so when I was a kid and I was grounded and in trouble, I had to travel with him to like car shows, like at Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and spend the night. And I hated it. But what's funny about that is that as an adult, I learned this respect and love for the classic car. So he and my dad also has owned many, many, many classic cars in my whole lifetime. So I've grown up around them. But like I said, as a kid, it was like torture to go to a car show. But now it's like one of the things I look forward to doing and going to. So this truck, when I was about 12, we learned that a 53 Chevy pickup was my favorite. And I said from then on, it was my dream car. So we got to find a 54 in a junkyard out in Elkton, actually, of all places, and brought it back. And it's not completely finished. It's been a 10-year restoration project, but it is completely custom. So it's a 54 Chevy truck, but it's got an LS2 motor. My father has done the entire inside, all custom welded from the floor to the roof. He built a brand new bed for it. He built all the little things were for like the headlights. We have a special door latch system on the door, so there's no handles on it. And so now that I have a new house with a garage that I can park it in, he promises me that it is going to get finished soon.
Oh my gosh, how exciting. There's so many things to love about that. I think most notably, how much quality time you have had with your father doing this project.
Oh, for sure. He and I have a lot of that in common. My mom says I get a lot of my energetic skills with from him, and like putting things together, or, you know, fixing something, or following an instruction manual, you know. She says you get all that from your father. So, but yeah, it's been super fun putting this truck together.
Yeah. And what an experience too, for you as a kid. I know you hated it back then, but now it's bringing fond memories and actually creating new ones. I'm curious. What are some of your favorite antique cars then, since you've seen so many?
Well, honestly, I love any of the old trucks. The cars, I could, you know, they're okay. But I mean, I just love looking at old trucks. But I'll tell you this, my first car, he got me when I was 14. Of course, he's a restoration, so he was going to fix this up. He brought this car home and had me help him clean the vinyl seats. I helped clean the convertible top. And of course, he was going to do a nice paint job. And he says, do you want this car as your first car? And I said, no, it's too old. Mm. Well, it was a 66 Mustang. And it had a special motor. And the crazy thing about it is that 30 years later, my dad spotted it at a car show in Pennsylvania and talked to the owner. He's from Stanley, Virginia, and he actually came to my work for a car show. I got to meet him and sit in it, get my picture taken in my old car that I didn't want because it was too old. And this guy that bought it recently, the last owner, he bought it for his daughter who didn't want it. So he totally restored it to a whole nother color. It doesn't look the same at all, but we recognized it from the motor.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's fun for me to look at Mustangs as well.
Yeah, I bet. Do you have any memorable or most memorable experiences from doing that with your dad in terms of where you traveled?
Yes. My dad, when I was younger, had a 48 sedan delivery that did not have a back seat. And I rode around in the back on a beanbag.
That's great.
We've had to sleep in there too. So if you don't know what a sedan delivery is, Google that. It's a 48 sedan delivery. It would be almost what you would call, I don't know, looks like an old timey hearse maybe, but more rounded. But yeah, so I loved traveling to car shows because I got to ride in the beanbag chair in the back of this sedan delivery.
Yeah, back when our parents didn't have us wear seatbelts. No.
Yeah. Hey, I survived.
Atrocity, right? Yep, you're still together, I would say. Yeah, that's really great. And I noticed too, now that I think I know where you learned this, now that you've shared that story, but you know how to weld and use a plasma cutter. First of all, what is a plasma cutter? What does it do? And I guess it's your dad who taught you how to weld?
Yes, yes. Okay. My dad taught me how to weld and how to do the plasma cutting. So for just in general knowledge, a plasma cutter, in layman terms, it is a tool that uses heat to cut in metal. Mm. And what I used to make with the plasma cutter, I would make personalized fire pits for friends.
What? I need one.
I had one that I did his initials in it and then some deer antlers in it. And then I would weld on the bottom, the legs. And then I would also weld after plasma cutting out little Christmas trees. Used to weld the like pine trees to the legs just for a little extra decoration. But yeah, so basically if you think about taking a 50 gallon drum, like steel drum, and then the plasma cutter can cut any kind of free-handed anything out of it that you can do.
That's incredible. Cool. It does. It's
metal work, you know, a little metal work.
Yeah, a little metal work I can't do, but I'll gladly buy.
I also used to weld, if you see it, a lot of people have them in their yard, those stakes that hold all the wine bottles.
Yes.
I've made those before.
Oh,
so if you ever need a little, you know, like wine bottle tree for your yard, we can weld you up something and then we'll paint it black.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to take you up on that for sure. Okay. Speaking of wine bottles, this is a great segue to my next question, which is, I understand you make wine bottle art, and it's your little side business, and it's called All Wired Up. Now, I'm hearing a little bit about how you got into that. So I'd like you to expand upon that a bit. And also do tell, where do you sell this wine bottle art? Because I must have.
Okay. So I would love to share this whole story with you.
Okay.
So I have always been kind of crafty and always into, I'll see something and I'm like, I can make that. And so we just give it a shot and then boom, the next thing you know, you're sitting there crafting for days and then you're like, hey, this is actually good. But anyway, the wine bottle, I think at one time in my life, I had gotten a wine bottle that was flattened and supposed to be used like as a cheese tray. And I was like, you know, there was nothing special to it. It was just flattened only. And I said, you know what? I can do this and let's step it up a notch. I ended up getting my own kiln. And now I recently have moved into this new house. And so I'm getting ready to get that kiln studio room set up. Ooh. So I have been a little bit on a hiatus and a small sabbatical from the winemaking, glass making. But the cool thing is that All Wired Up is because I take wire or colored wire and I by hand pick your, say, color theme with beads, and I will hand wrap beads on the wire around the neck of the bottle and then give it a theme for you. Like if it matches your kitchen or if it, you know, you have a color for your dining room and you want to set it somewhere in there. And then have a bunch of different molds, that I can lay them in when they melt down that are super cool. And so, I used to stop at a local glass shop here called, Bridgeworks, and they did a lot of it for me until I realized, you know what, I can get a kiln and do this myself for about the same price. So the kiln's already paid for itself. Now, every Christmas, the only time usually that I used to advertise, I would sell out. And then I'd have to spend the rest of the whole year just making new inventory. So I have not done a vendor event in a long time. But I, now that I have the studio with the new, you know, kiln set up.
Yeah, girl.
In this new house, I am super excited to get back on it and build up inventory to have ready anytime next year, really. But they were great for like wedding gifts, bridal shower gifts, birthdays, you name it, you know. And it's just something that's special, and handmade is always great.
Oh, that's, yeah, we're going to talk more about this after the podcast for sure. Okay. I definitely want one of those.
Yeah, I will make sure you get one.
That sounds good. How do you lay out a design for them, or is it in your head or a combination of both? Do you just like look at something and start playing and tinkering around? What's your process?
It's same. It's like I'll just start pulling out colors or whatever it is, sliding them together, or I'll see something that's an inspiration and say, you know what, I love that combo. And then I'll go make something my own, you know, with, I don't know, you know, like whether, well, actually, see, I do more than just the wine bottles, but anyway, I just seriously, whatever is in the moment, I go with it, and it's whatever comes to me.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. You're very, very crafty. And you also can sing, and then you have this, you have a day job also. So you sing by night and work at Myers Ford by day. What do you do for Myers Ford, and how long have you been there?
So, gosh, I love my job. I have been at Myers Ford for 8 years this month, and I have been in car sales. So I am a woman salesperson, and I work with three other male salespersons, and we're like a family over there. We're kind to each other. We help each other out. It's not cutthroat business like you would think a lot of car businesses are. It's just different, and it's owned by a Christian company. And so it's very intimate and morally sound, and it's just a great great blessing to be there.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I have noticed, I haven't had to buy a car in a while, but I've noticed and hear and read that there's been some changes, especially the last few years. What has been the most surprising change to you in the last few years, given you've worked there 8 years in the car industry?
Yeah, it's actually hard to be a salesperson right now, because if you care about people, you know, really don't want to see them spend more money than they should or than they have to. And so the biggest changes and shocking things to me that's happened is, one, the market for used cars has jacked way up. It's, you know, prices are just kind of ridiculously priced. And I have a feeling that will come down again in the next, say, year or so. You just never know. And then the other big thing is new inventory has been very, it's been harder to get. And so it's put like a lull in the, you know, you get used to jogging and then all of a sudden you're walking a lot, you know?
Yeah. I like what I'm hearing.
Which is good, because I'm not a jogger at all and I'll walk any day.
I used to do it and I was very slow.
I had a friend say, "Will you come running with me?" And I said, "I will drive right next to you at your pace with the window down and talk your ear off. But no, I won't come running with you."
I don't blame you. Well, I'm excited to hear about things trending in a better direction, I guess. Yeah,
it's
more positive direction. That'd be great. Yeah, but back to your singing. That's what I want to get into next. Here is a very fun fact that I learned about you that we must talk about. And okay. It is the first person I've known personally that has done something like this. You sang the national anthem at an NFL game at Ford Stadium for the Detroit Lions. Oh, my gosh.
That
is something else. What was that experience like for you?
So that was probably the number one most nerve-wracking, anxiety-ridden experience I ever had, ever. It was it was a preseason game. It was in August of 08. And there was they said around 46,000 people there. So wow. It wasn't a full stadium, but it was still enough that you look around and go, "Oh my gosh, there's a lot of people here."
Yeah.
Actually, the crazy part was that I actually learned how easy it is for celebrities to mess up the lyrics that you see on TV or, you know, for big normal NFL games, because they had me do a run through a rehearsal, and I have a microphone. And you're standing in the middle of this football field in a stadium that has a dome, you know, top on it. And you start singing. And then the delay that you hear is a good second off in timing. And if you're not paying attention to yourself and you start to listen to your delay, you don't know what you're singing by the end of the song. You've totally changed songs. You've changed languages. You don't know what you're doing. So
yeah,
it's completely easy to mess that up. So, and National Anthem, that's a hard song anyway. I mean, you know, getting lyrics right and the range is so low and so high. So, that was, now I will tell you a funny story.
Okay.
Now I don't tell a whole lot of people this, but if you watch the video on YouTube, now you'll never catch it. But now that I'm telling you, you will. So the moment the guy says, "Don't do anything until I point at you." And I'm like, okay. So I'm there in my mind thinking, okay, what note do I start this on? Like, okay, where do I go? So I'm freaking out about how to start it. And then I'm waiting for the guy to point at me, and he points. And I remember lifting the microphone up and starting to sing. And then I have this blackout moment. I don't remember singing this song. And you know, at the very end, people start to get a little pre-anxious and pre-celebratory, and they start clapping and yelling for the home of the brave. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is when I heard people starting to clap and yell and whistle. And my brain cut on and I was like, oh, where am I in the song? Like, where am I? What line am I on? I don't know what words I just sang. So it's at the end where it says, home of the brave, land of the free, well, or vice versa, whatever it is. But I ended up saying land of the brie, like the cheese.
Oh, jeez.
Because I thought I was at home of the brave. But anyway. So now you go back. And now anyone that hears this can watch that and listen for land of the brie.
Land of the brie. I'm going to be looking for that now.
Yeah. That's great. It's a must see. Yeah. If you do YouTube that, it's at least you got to fast forward a minute in for sure. But yeah, it's definitely on there.
Oh gosh. Well, how did you land that gig? Did somebody know somebody? How did that work? Okay.
It was somebody I knew. And this is, I'll give you the 25 cent Reader's Digest version. It's like a guy I dated. A guy I dated was in sports medicine and applied to every NFL team. And he took the first one that responded back, which was Detroit Lions. And he ran their summer camps and preseason as a sports trainer, medical trainer. So we had planned a trip. I was going up to see him and stay. And he actually already had tickets for me for that game. And he overheard one of the managers saying, hey, you still don't have a singer for the game this weekend. And he said, this was a Tuesday. He said, what would one have to do? And they said, well, they just need to like send us a quick MP3 of them singing it a cappella. He calls me and he says, how quick can you like email me your national anthem? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's right here in my pocket. Like, I got it right here. So I ended up knowing Mike Schickman is a local radio host.
Yeah.
And I call up Mike and I said, Mike, I know you used to do these games at Turner Ashby when I used to coach and sing the national anthem there. Do you have anything in the archives? He says, no, but I tell you what, come down to the radio station. I'll record you and we'll email it.
Oh, so my gosh. Yay. So
Mike Schickman gets the credit for that. And I sent it to him that Tuesday night. And then that Wednesday, I got a phone call. That they would, this is Brian so-and-so from the Detroit Lions. We would love to have you come sing our national anthem. Da, da, da. And we'll throw in a free ticket to the game. And I'm thinking, really, because I already have that, like maybe a jersey signed by someone, I don't know, which I ended up getting. But anyway, so yeah, it was just a guy that I was dating long distance at the time. And just by chance, heard how I could do it. We got it on there.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah. It was such an experience. I'm so grateful to have that under my belt.
I love so many things about that story as well. I love that you didn't let the opportunity slip you by. You took initiative and you were like, that's right. You grabbed it and you said, here I am. And they said, come on in.
Yep. You never know until you try. See, that's the whole point.
It's the whole point. And a lot of us will get paralyzed, you know, and not follow through.
Right. Right.
And then we will you miss those kinds of opportunities.
Miss the opportunity. Right.
Seize the day. Carpe diem. That's Kelly Mae Brown. That's awesome.
that's on the regular.
On the rig. Oh, my gosh. When did you know you were musically talented? Do you come from a family of musicians? Where does this all come from?
So, yes, actually, my mom's side of the family, definitely with the singing, but it's on both sides, my dad and my mom's side. There are so many times that there are so many musicians just sitting in one room together. So a lot of singing, a lot of instrument playing. Now, growing up as a kid, my mom would sing and my dad played drums. And actually, my dad used to be in a gospel group called His Song, and they had an album. And my dad had this one song on the whole album, a backup vocal that he sang, and it was two words, sail on. And so we joke about like, sail on. That's all you got to say in the background or sing, sail on, sail on. Anyway, it's a big inside joke there. But so my dad actually, yes, he also can sing, but he's a drummer. My mom's a singer. My mom has played the piano. I think at one time she played the guitar. I took piano lessons as a kid for 4 years, and that was enough to at least help me read music and get my basics down. But I was young. I think the first time I did a solo in church when I was a kid, I was six.
Wow.
Around there. I don't know. I can't remember, but I know it was some Amy Grant song, and it just, I don't know why I didn't have that weird, like, nervousness in front of people. I don't know.
Never had that.
Yeah, I have, but at such a young age, like starting it and continuing to do it, I don't know how I got over that. I mean, it was like it wasn't there. It didn't exist, but I know it has. I mean, even up until now, there's certain times if I know that maybe certain people might be there, I get a little nervous, but I've never had a problem with public speaking ever.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can definitely see that. Do you sing in church now?
I actually do on a praise and worship team. I'm about once a month. There's a lot of musicians at my church at New Beginnings. And they rotate a lot of us. And so here recently, with my move and some anxiety and things going on, I took a small break, but I will be back up there probably January at some point. And so once a month, I'm on the praise and worship team, and I totally enjoy that very much.
What's your favorite song, praise song to sing?
Well, I'll tell you what other people tell me is their favorite of mine to sing.
Okay. And
a lot of people request and ask me to sing Lead Me to the Cross or Oceans, Spirit Lead Me. Anyway, I'm just, there's so many. There's too many. There's too many to tell you. But I know that Lead Me to the Cross was a favorite of a lot of churchgoers. When I would do that, they would ask me to always do it again. And, you know, when are you going to sing Lead Me to the Cross again? So apparently that was a huge hit, but yeah, and one of my favorites.
Definitely. Speaking of favorites, well, who are your favorite artists that have influenced you over the years of your performing career?
All right. So the first person that comes to mind is Tori Amos. And it's not because of, like, I want to sing like her, or I want to, you know, play piano like her. She was in an era during my life when music just began to sink in. And she's, if you know Tori Amos at all, she's a little different. Well, she's a lot different, but she's a little different. And so I have always been a little different. And I feel like I was born in the wrong year. So when I was 16 and driving in my Volkswagen Beetle, which my first car ended up being a 67 when the 66 Mustang was too old.
All right.
Anyway, in my little Beetle, I used to have a cassette player, and I would listen to Led Zeppelin and Creedence Clearwater Revival and Melanie Smith and Beatles, and it was just funny. I loved the classic rock era. And I mean, I was born in 76, and I just feel like I was a whole decade or two late. So, okay. But as far as musical influencing, I like three-part harmony.
Okay.
So anything that has harmony in it is because I feel like I hear harmony before I hear a melody. And so that's kind of a rare gift as well. And so I love that. And I'll like Nickel Creek. If you've ever listened to Nickel Creek, they have the most beautiful three-part harmony. And, but anyway, I've always loved indie and folk music and classic rock music and anything that's got a lot of vocals. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. That good vocal blend. I love those.
Yeah, you've had a lot of opportunity that comes out in your music and when you sing to kind of have that influence out there. And you've performed in a lot of places around the valley. So speaking again of favorites, what are some of your favorite places to play in the Shenandoah Valley?
I will say one of my favorite places to play in the Valley, and this is no like particular shout out or anything like that, but I love playing at Bluestone Vineyard in the summer.
Oh, yes.
That's probably one of my favorites. I also loved, used to love playing out at the Cracked Pillar. But I don't care where it is. If it's somewhere that other people are enjoying it and having fun, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm. That is what matters. Yeah. And it's a beautiful place no matter where we go in the Shenandoah Valley, too. So.
And I'll say the only other answer I would have for you is whoever's paying the most money is the favorite spot.
That's a great answer.
Oh, you're going to pay me this much money? Oh, yes. I love you. Yeah.
You're my new favorite place.
Oh, and you're giving me free wine too. Great.
Yeah, that can be negotiated for comedy as well. Just pay attention to that vineyard.
As you know. Right.
Well, one of the places you performed several years as part of the vocal entertainment was at a very popular local annual event called Dancing with the Stars of the Berg. This event helps raise money for the nonprofit agency that makes daycare affordable for families regardless of their income, and that's the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Child Daycare Center. Each year, they put on this event where seven local celebrity stars are matched with an amateur dance partner from the Shenandoah Valley chapter of USA Dance. The teams then practice and fundraise for 14 weeks to prepare for the sold-out event. Then, one fine year in 2019, you, the singer, decided to participate as a dancer, and your team ended up raising the most money
that year.
So please tell us about this experience, what it was like for you, and why you decided to dance.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay, so out of the 12 years now that they have had it, which I think we just had the last and final year back this past November.
Okay.
They've asked me to sing, I think at least 9 out of the 12, if not 10 out of the 12 years. And so all these years before of singing, I was always either an opening act or maybe a halftime show. And it would always be a song I would have to learn, memorize, and perform. And the best part was, though, is I got to like sing usually first and then go sit down and watch the rest of the show. So I've gotten to know a lot of this crew, like with the USA Dance team and the Harrisonburg Rockingham Daycare Center girls and the Taylors, David and his wife Connie, who had this whole thing up. So look, all these friendships and stuff started early on, and they really liked me because, you know, they kept asking me to come back. And so then there was that year for 2019, and they had said, you know what, you've been singing all these years, why don't you be the celebrity and dance? And I thought, okay, hold on a minute. Who's dancing this year? Because I don't want to be in competition with some friends. Well, and that was the joke, is that my friend Libby, she has been known to win a lot of trophies at Dancing with the Stars, whether it was her year to be the celebrity or when she was the USA Dance partner, and her celebrity partner would win that year. So she had a lot of, you know, Kodak moments with her in this trophy. So I said, I will do it if I don't have to compete against Libby. And so by chance, it worked that way. That's how it worked out, worked itself out. And so they partnered me up. And, you know, it's like doing crafts. You can do anything that you're taught. You can do anything that you do repetitively. And so I'll tell you, the learning a dance, I had to do, I think it was the Nightclub Two-Step.
Okay.
And it was the first time they had ever implemented that dance into Dancing with the Stars. And learning that was not hard. It was fun. It was easy. They put me with such a great dance partner. His name was Greg Earhart. We were like joined at the hip. We were like separated at birth, you know, somehow, you know, my brother from another mother kind of thing. So anyway, it was, that part was so much fun, but the fundraising that you have to do, it's very, it's time consuming and it takes a lot of work and dedication and staying on it. And raising money is really hard to do for some people. And that's, it's not really my thing, but because of knowing so many people in the area, it was easy. Mm-hmm. And so that year, I think it said some sort of record, 20 some thousand dollars from, you know, now, I will say Aubrey Urbanowitz, she was like $8 behind me. So she's made, she did a lot too, but
yeah.
Anyway. So after I danced and I said, you know what, I've been on that side. I know what these people go through. I totally appreciate everything that they do for them and what the daycare is stands for and everything, especially with, you know, the sliding pay scale. That is awesome. I was so glad for when 2020 came and COVID hit and there was no Dancing with the Stars. But then 2021 came back and I went right back to singing. And everybody says, oh, you want to dance again? Nope. Nope. No, thank you. I've done my portion.
Been there, so done it was, that.
Yeah, it was yeah. more of a matter of just feeling like I needed to do my part in this community. So. It's always fun.
Yeah.
It's a little stressful, but it's always fun. Always fun.
And you'll
hear something coming up of that in the next years too. It might not be Dancing with the Stars of the Berg, but it will be something that has to do with dancing and me singing. You'll see something coming up.
Oh, yeah. Good. A little.
Yeah.
We're shaking it up a little bit.
We are. I can't give too much information. So.
All right. Well, maybe they can be a podcast interview in the future so we can talk about it. So
yes.
Tell your friends over there.
Well, I will give them a heads up. I'll give them a heads up.
Okay. Well, good. Well, where can lappers find your music online or elsewhere?
So, you know, if you know how to spell my name correctly, which, you know, a lot of people think May is M-A-E and it's not. Actually, a lot of people think that's my middle name and it's not. It's my maiden name. Mm. So a lot of people call me Kelly May and it's just funny. I think it's funny because, you know, do you call everyone by their first and last name? No, but it's all right. So if you know how to spell Kelly Mae Brown, you can find most things of my recordings on YouTube or on the SRO's website. And I don't like to post a lot of videos myself. So I'm just a little too humble for that. So you actually would have to like just search it from whoever has posted something on their own. So it's not going to be me.
Mm.
So, but YouTube is a big one, and now Facebook has SRO's Facebook page also has a lot of video and sound and, you know, audible stuff you can listen to. But yeah, you just have to come to a live show.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I mean, that's just the best thing to do right there is to get out and see you perform live. And then when they're maybe, you know, wanting to check it out at home, they can always also look up the National Anthem YouTube video.
Right. Make sure you fast forward 1 minute in.
See if you can find the cheese.
See, who doesn't love Brie?
I mean, I love Brie.
I do too.
So good. Oh, this has been super fun. How best can people follow you on social media or otherwise to connect with you as we wrap up here?
So the three major ones on Facebook would be the full band, Standing Room Only, or there are two versions of Kelly Mae Brown. One is my personal page and one is a music page that I forget all about half the time. So. Just send me a friend request and we'll go from there.
I love that. And that's Kelly Mae Brown. Kelly is K-E-L-L-Y May, M-A-Y, and Brown. Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you so much. Yes, perfect. Thank you so much, Kelly. This has been super fun hanging out with you today, hearing some of your story, learning more about you and your singing, your music. I really can't wait to listen to you sing again in person here real, real soon. Thanks again for coming on the show today. This has been super, super fun.
Oh, Dawn, I guarantee you that I have had more fun than you did today. So thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
You are welcome. It has been a pleasure. And laughers, to keep up with where Kelly Mae Brown is singing next, be sure to follow her on social media and go visit Standing Room Only's website at SROBand.net for upcoming shows. That's SROBand.net. We'll be sure to put her info and SRO's website in the show notes for you as well. And of course, lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.